We are starting the Mystic Pete Chronicles, and I'm Mystic Pete. Every week, through interviews with thought leaders, visionaries, and creatives, and stories, music, and humor, we'll do some deep ponders in this time of great change, and have some fun. If you'd like more information about today's guests, or to be interviewed for the show yourself, I'm at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. In today's show, I interview the super talented DJ Ariane Dominique, and then we hear one of her mixes. Stay tuned! Mystic Pete here with DJ Ariane Dominique. Hi, Ariane! You were on my DJ show. We featured a wonderful set that you did, broadcast in LA. I really liked your music a lot. It just really had a real nice, easy, dancey, accessible kind of vibe. And I just thought it would be interesting to catch you on the way up, your emergence as an artist. You seem very talented. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. I appreciate the kind words.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so how long have you been DJing?
For about 4 years. But I always wanted to be a DJ.
But it sounds like really dance music has always appealed to you, even from Christina Aguilera or Backstreet. This is dance music.
I like happy music, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and your set was really uplifting.
Yeah, I like
and
really
fun.
Happy music and fun, yeah. I like for people to like dance a lot during my sets. Like that's the goal for me. And another goal is just to keep the energy really high. And, like, I want them to feel almost like this is the best day of their life whenever they hear my sets. And I usually get told that. They come up to me like, oh my god, like, this is so much fun. And they're, like, so happy. And it's, like, that makes me, like, feel good that I'm, like, giving someone else, like, a good experience. And they're, like, feeling good.
That's, like, what art can do. It
right.
can
yeah.
transform people's emotions. But you have to, I think, start from where people are at. Like, if you see the crowd as kind of somber, you just have to kind of coax them in
yes.
to the place you want to bring them
right.
to.
I do that.
Yeah.
I read the room.
You're reading the room.
Yeah, and I don't just, like, read the room, but I also, like, look at people, and I kind of guess, like, what kind of music they would like just based upon what they look like.
Interesting.
What they're wearing, how old they are. And then I kind of, like, go through the files that I have, because I play on CDJs.
Right.
So, like, I can actually, like, dig through digitally, which is, in my opinion, much more favorable than spinning vinyl.
Yeah.
Nothing against people who spin vinyl, but I refuse to do it. It's too much work.
Yeah. But so there's something intuitive and almost psychic. Like, you're actually reading the people.
Yeah. Yes.
And getting a feeling for what is going to open these people up to
right.
joy and dance.
Yeah. And it's like an experiment. To me, DJing is like a social experiment.
And I think this is what people don't understand who kind of look at the DJ community from the outside. They just think, oh, you're just playing a bunch of... There's a real artistic element
yeah.
to it.
It's also like crowd control.
Because
you are essentially controlling a crowd to
yeah.
get them to have fun and have like a dance party.
Did you ever like play the wrong tune and everybody sits down? I've done that and it's painful. Like, you're rocking the house, and you just do something off, and then everybody leaves.
I feel like that's inevitable. It happens regardless. Like, but I try not to dip down in energy.
I see.
So I keep the energy high. If I notice that people are, like, really starting to dance, I have, like, certain tracks that I save for those moments, and I just keep the energy high. I keep it as high as possible. Until the next DJ comes on.
Yeah.
And I am, like, polite. I do, like, kind of lower it. I play something chiller before they come on. So they don't have to feel like, oh my god, I have to keep up the energy.
That is very considerate. But
yes.
I remember your set, yes, it was like that. From beginning to end, high energy. And
yes,
very
that's how I am.
Positive.
Yes. That's how my set
Interesting.
Are.
And also interesting that it came out of, like, almost trauma or tragedy. You said you had a really bad relationship and kind of, you know, broken or whatever from that. And it sounds like art and music was really a way to reclaim yourself or move ahead.
Yes.
Like almost a therapeutic element.
Oh, yes, very much, yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Talk about how music has been like therapy.
Well, the transformational component. I mean, we want to dance and just have fun or space out, but...
Yeah, it's really funny to, like, to go from civilian to DJ. Like, I was just, you know, like a normal girl before.
Just normal human.
And I knew that I had a talent, and I was like... I just need to embrace my talent and stop being scared, you know? I was so scared to have, like, attention. And, like, now it's like, second nature to me. I know.
You don't mind everyone looking at you.
No, I don't mind it.
And even as a female, there's more attention on you.
Right.
Because there's this kind of scrutiny or, like, judging what you look like, your hair or your clothes.
Right.
Or, like, there's all that. But you somehow just, like, embraced it and...
Yeah, I just don't care.
Right.
I just don't care what people think as far as, like, physicality.
That's
But
cool.
It's really funny, like, when I've DJed at certain places where you can't see me...
Yeah.
People will come up and, like, they'll always, you know... People tend to compliment me during my sets.
Nice.
And one time a guy came up to me and was like, "Oh my god, you're a white girl!"
Oh,
and I was like, he was like, "Oh, I thought you were like a 40-year-old black man because of the music you play."
Right, right, exactly, because it's got some groove.
Oh yeah, it's very soulful, the music that I play. He was like, "I legitimately thought you were a 40-year-old black man."
That's so funny. Well, I interrupted you. You were talking about the transformational component of music, or even the therapeutic value of it. I mean, there's you personally, but also what you do to the dance floor.
Right. Yeah, I would say, yeah, I mean, I just think that when you're a DJ, you have more power than you realize.
Because
not only are you playing your music, you're also, like, emitting your own frequency into the crowd. And, like, your own vibes, you know? And, like, I've been to some sets where, like, the music was pretty good, but the vibes were bad. Like, the vibes were, like, I don't know, they were, like, weird vibes.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm just very, I can feel everything. Like, I'm an HSP. A highly sensitive person.
Okay.
So, like, I just feel vibes very powerfully.
I see.
And
so you're already an intuitive or an empath.
Very much, yes. I am very intuitive and I am an empath. I also, like, am kind of psychic sometimes,
And
too.
You're psychic, too. Good. Mystic Pete.
Yeah.
We're doing good.
So, I think, yeah, my sets, because I have such, like, positive energy, like, I just want people to feel good. So maybe, yeah, it is healing. And I see people, like, smiling and dancing and just having so much fun when I play, and that's a really good feeling for me. So it heals me in a way, because I feel good when I make others feel good too. So it in turn, like, makes me, like, feel like I'm healing, I guess.
Healing yourself.
Healing myself, yeah.
And it's almost like if you just follow that trail,
right,
and do what you love, it's contagious and everybody else is going to
feel
that.
Right,
yeah. I mean, I have this theory that I'm just really into past lives and all this kind of stuff, that like old souls and like monks from the temples and stuff, they incarnated into like this period of time, perhaps as musicians or just, you know, just regular people in the culture, but there's this shamanistic element that they bring.
Right.
It's you're actually doing some kind of, you know, deeply tribal transformative work, but it's cloaked in just a modern idiom, so it may not have to involve like hours of meditating or, you know, things that may be appropriate to other cultures. You're just in this culture, so what works here? I mean, I think there are a lot of old souls, but they're now DJs and just like,
yeah,
you know, bopping around.
Yeah.
Because that's what this world will understand.
Right.
Well, what about the whole spiritual thing? Well, you said you're kind of an empath. I mean,
right, I'm an empath. I would say because of all the terrible things I've been through in my life, it has made me research things that I would have never researched had I not have had those terrible experiences. Like energy healing.
There was a lot of trauma in your background.
Yes, a lot. A lot of trauma.
And the trauma, it sounds like it led you to a lot of perception and your own transformation and digging deep and learning.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Digging so deep.
We'll talk about that a little. I mean, yeah, I'm just very interested as a healer and a musician.
Right.
My specialty is sound meditation.
Right.
And I take people and I'm playing the cello.
Right.
And they're weeping.
Right.
And so I'm very intentionally using sound and vibration to help people open up places they can't access by themselves.
I guess I don't do that in DJing.
But you're right, because you're not in like, okay, let's do a meditative experience.
I could do that. I definitely think I could do that. I can honestly do any type of DJ set.
Like, I see.
Sad, happy.
Deep ambient.
Yeah, deep ambient. Like, I don't know. Any type of DJ set. Any type of playlist curation. Any genre, I can do it.
Because you've touched all these things.
Right, yeah. I've had so much experience with listening to so many different styles of music in my lifetime. And not only that, I have, like, really great researching skills because for a while I wanted to be a music supervisor.
Right.
So I have, like, really good researching skills because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like a Discogs digger is what I do.
Because you've kind of faced down a lot of these, well, emotions yourself.
Yeah.
And you've sorted things out.
Right. So for me personally, I go to therapy. And I'm not the type of person who heals by just partying and sleeping with a bunch of people. And a lot of people are like that in LA.
Of course.
And I am
just
not
the fast life.
I am not like that at all. I am extremely sensitive, as I said earlier. So I think having so much time to myself and, like, being alone so much has, like, made me learn things that I would have never have learned if I was, like, the opposite, you know? Like, for instance, like, I would have never learned how to, like, research on Discogs had I been more like, oh, I'm just gonna get drunk with my friends and go sleep with these dudes, you know? Like, I just don't do that.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm like, at home, I'm, like, researching on Discogs, or I'm trying to find new tracks, or I'm, like, learning about some obscure healing process. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just...
You're going deep.
I've gone very deep, yes.
Yeah, I felt that about you.
Yeah, too. Right.
But how do you protect your sensitivities? I mean, you're emotionally feeling. You're tender.
Sometimes it's hard, you know? Sometimes you can't really protect yourself fully, or else you'll just be living in a bubble. By, like, just constantly protecting yourself, for me. So I do try to, like, go outside of my comfort zone a little bit, but I do have, like, really firm boundaries. That's how I protect myself, by having boundaries.
And speaking up for yourself.
Yes. I definitely... People that know me know that I'm very blunt, and, like, the right people respect that. Mm-hmm. The wrong people don't, and I'm
they're
just very...
They're all put by it.
Yeah, they're like, oh my god, how dare she be honest?
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust that, because everyone's full of it, mostly.
Well, we're talking about the artistic journey, the journey of the artist, and the empath and the sensitive person, and our role as one, you know, I call the shamanistic role, or transformative role, or just somebody gets the dance floor moving and leaves everybody happy. You know, we don't have to, like, make some highfalutin thing here. It's just
that's what I want.
A natural cultural thing. But to be able to do that, we have to be sensitive.
Right.
And artists are typically, I mean, often very close to crazy or drug abuse, or, you know, just lifestyles that really are corrosive. So we're kind of up against the edge.
I definitely am the opposite of all of that.
In terms of lifestyle.
Yes, in terms of lifestyle.
You're choosing something that's balanced and healthy for you.
Yeah, I'm sober too.
Instead of something edgy. Yeah, but I'm just saying, artists... But because the world isn't necessarily very friendly to people who are very tender.
No.
Like, be tough and, you know, bro, you know, like the DGAF guy, don't give a F guys, you know, like that kind of tough thing.
Yeah, but I disagree with that lifestyle. I'm always the person that cares more, always. And I don't I don't mind being that person, honestly. Because I just think that a lot of people do need to be cared for. And they can't provide that care to me. And I've accepted that. Because I know that they don't have the emotional depth that I have. So, like, I think it's a gift that I have this emotional depth. So I'm willing to, like, give my gift and not always get it returned. It's fine.
And you enjoy giving.
I enjoy giving.
You
very
get
much.
Pleasure
yes.
from being kind to
yes,
others.
Yes, I am very generous
you
with kindness.
You freak.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like everybody's, like, so busy trying to grab for themselves
yeah.
and take, and they...
I think, yeah, it's really gross. People who are, like, not kind.
Wow.
I really think that's really gross.
I think you just said everything.
Yeah.
But that's just the standard. It's just like taking advantage is like...
Some people, yeah. For some, it's the standard. I don't know. Not for me. Like, for me, if I see, like, a really beautiful person and then I find out that they're, like, a mean and nasty person, I don't think they're beautiful, actually. Like, you're not beautiful unless you're beautiful on the inside. Like, unless you're a kind person and you care for others or, I don't know, you care for some people, or, I don't know, you're not self-serving, like, yeah, then you're an awesome, beautiful person.
You look to people's character.
Yes.
But in this world right now, we're idolizing, you know, these plutocrats and billionaires, like, often vicious, vicious people.
Oh, yeah, they're
disgusting. Who are just very wealthy and very successful, but horrible human beings.
Oh, yeah, I honestly despise billionaires, I'm sorry. I definitely against that.
Well, I mean, if you've got your $1 billion by curing cancer, fine. But if you've got it by, like, taking advantage of your workers and shoddy products or just manipulating money markets.
Right.
You know, what have you done for the world? And everybody's idolizing you. But it's just kind of so pernicious and so, like, degraded as a value system.
It is. Yeah. A lot of people are morally reprehensible.
Yeah, morally reprehensible. That's the word.
Yes.
But that's, like, okay right now.
For some.
I was going to yoga classes for a while. I'm going, why do I feel so bad in these yoga classes? Oh, I see. Everybody is trying to prove themselves. Nobody's being friendly. It's this, like, personally obsessed thing. I'll just do yoga in my life. Like, a yoga class, you think it'd be a place to be embraced and... Hey, how are you? And everybody be friendly, but it's not that way at all at most of them. I mean, just like,
right.
Where is that feeling of gentleness and caring and community and welcome and, like, this feeling of home and feeding people? Like, I crave this so much.
I hate to say this, but it's not in LA.
It's not in LA.
No. Because when I lived in El Paso, Texas, and I grew up there, and I would go to yoga and stuff like that, and... People were so kind.
They were kind.
They were kind, and they were inviting. It felt like a community, and the classes were so deep. Like, during Shavasana, I would have, like, premonitions multiple times that came true because, like, the class was so deeply bonded, and, like, I just feel like people in LA are just so, like, gross sometimes. It's just so, like, what can you do for me? Like, how can I benefit from this relationship? Kind of vibes here, and like, oh, you're not that cool, so, like, I'm not gonna be nice to you. Like, you don't have anything to offer me, so I'm not gonna be nice to you. Or, yeah, I don't know, that's
self-involved.
That's what I've noticed here.
What can I get out of it?
Yeah, it's really gross. Like, it's pretty gross.
I guess my point is, like, how does the sensitive, the empath, the person who really wants to care fit into this, like, kind of grinding, grimy system, you know?
I definitely, like, keep to myself a lot.
You keep to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I regret leaving the house because I end up, like, experiencing trauma or something when I do leave the house.
Yeah.
Because I experience something that I didn't want to happen.
Right.
Because I'm sensitive. You know, for instance, on Friday, I went out to a bar, and I don't drink, but I went out to see my friend's boyfriend's DJ set, and there was a guy there that took me on a date a year ago, ghosted me, never spoke to me again.
Hmm.
And that didn't feel good. That was a horrible feeling.
Yeah.
And this guy had the audacity to come over and sit right next to me, inebriated, and have a full-on conversation.
And so he's hitting on you now, just totally ignoring the fact that he was a douche.
Yeah, and the whole time I was like, God, I wish I stayed home.
Yeah, just going out. Wife, I find myself doing the same thing as a very sensitive person. Like, I choose very carefully when I go out and who I let into my space. Same. I have to be very protective.
Same.
I mean, I'm happy to go into nature, but like when I go to parties, like I'm putting up my antenna. Like, is this thing gonna feel good to me when I'm done?
It's crazy. I can feel the bad vibes the moment I walk into a room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So back to this, like, so tell me about your past life as a monk in Tibet. I mean,
I would love to know who I was in a past life. I have never done anything like past life regression or anything like that, but I would assume, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I might have been a bad person in a past life.
You might have been a bad person?
Yes. And that's why I'm like so like kind and caring and empathetic and all that jazz, because I might have been a bad person in a past life.
Ariane, I had some past lives where I was horrible.
Yeah.
Just absolutely a terrible person.
Right. I think I probably was, honestly.
But I'll tell you,
yeah.
Like you said, you've had trauma. I've had some like crazy trauma, but like learning like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
It's almost sometimes you got to go to that kind of dark place to realize, no.
Right.
What's the alternative? And it turns out like, caring for people, it just makes you feel good. Like, by giving, you actually get.
Right.
And that realization doesn't hit people who are just grabbing everything they can.
No. I feel sorry for them.
But such an interesting, like, kind of paradox. Like, sometimes, like, this kind of corrupted place we have to go to, assuming we were horrible, evil, vicious people in our past lives, to kind of learn the lesson of that to realize that's not the answer.
Right. No. Being kind is the answer.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we kind of went deep in this conversation. What are you looking forward to as a musician, a DJ, as an artist, an empath? What's the dream?
I mean, as far as goals, I would really like to play festivals.
Oh, okay.
Like, really bad.
Like, 10,000 people out there all jumping up and down.
To me, in my opinion, that's my skill level as a DJ.
Okay.
And, I mean, I like playing any type of gig, but I would really love to play a festival.
Like, a massive crowd.
A massive festival. Like, my goal is to DJ, like, Bonnaroo.
Nice.
Or, like...
Headline Coachella.
I don't know about headline, but even just being, like, a small artist, I just want to DJ at a festival because the music that I play is more for people who are, like, really trying to experience the music.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people just go to bars to get drunk.
True.
But people go to festivals to listen to music and to, like, to really have that, like, mind and body experience with music. And I feel like I can provide that to the crowd because I play, like, really, like, mind-blowing music, you know? Like, I really do. And that's just where I think my skill level is at as a DJ, as far as, like, playlist curation. Because it's not, like, just disco that I play. I really, like, go all around.
You take people on a journey.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Very much. But, like, a really, like, oh my god, this is so sick journey.
I agree. I've had 1,000 DJs on my show. You're definitely one of the better ones.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's really sweet.
Any final words?
Don't stop believing in yourself. Don't let other people make you feel like you're not capable of doing anything, basically. Because if I would have listened to so many people, I would have never DJ'd. I would have never sang. I would have never modeled. I would have never acted. I would have never done any of that. If I would have listened to the people who said, oh, you're not good enough, or like, oh, you could never do that, or something like that. So I guess that's my message. Like, don't listen to what people say that is negative about what you want to do with your life.
DJ Ariane Dominique, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
promise I will love you long time. What can I do anytime? Tell me what you want, don't be so shy. Mm-hmm. Oh baby, what can I do anytime? I do it on and on to please you right for sure.
Name. me there. I'm rising above. You won't find me there. I'm rising above.
Oh, you. want to, all you want to do is give your love to me.
Need you 100%.
We are coming to the end of the Mystic Pete Chronicles. In today's show, I interviewed the very talented DJ Ariane Dominique, and then we heard one of her mixes. I love her music. Someone to watch. You can find me at mysticpete.com and mysticpete on social media. We will be back next week with the best of talk radio. Mystic Pete out.